Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and mercies. We thank you for gathering us together again today. Thank you for the great privilege. So many places in the world where they don't have this privilege, so we don't take it for granted. Freedom of worship, freedom of association, freedom to speak your word without let or hindrance. We're grateful. We enter the word with humility, fully conscious of the fact that we have the limitations of our natural human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. Consequently, we need your help, fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that I would indeed speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy, so I'll be faithful as I deliver the word and do it the same with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say. Bring now treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, Amen. Well, today we're going to start the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. We've just finished Jude. I'll just quickly summarize the last week. We actually finished it last week. But just for completeness, I will look at that doxology again. Only God knows where they got that name from, but that's fine also. Amen. And, what Jude was just doing was just giving glory to God. He was just giving honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who incidentally was his brother. But by this time, Jude knew Jesus wasn't just his brother. He knew that Jesus was God. Because he'd been born again, he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, and he became an apostle. He penned this very, very instructive perfection epistle. And so he ends it by saying this. We saw it last time, verses 24 and 25. It says, now unto him, I didn't hear you, that is able to keep you from falling. We looked at that. God can keep you with his mercy and grace. And to present you faultless. Again, he can do that by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This speaks of the rapture of the glorious church. It's very, I find it extremely funny. I don't know, funny is not the word. You know, amazing is a better word. You know, incredulous is probably a better word. You know, there are people who read these scriptures and just ignore them. He said he's coming back. He said that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. And yet people say, he just can't come tomorrow. You can't marry those two unless you're dishonest. If he's coming for a glorious church without having spot, blemish, or wrinkle, which is what the Bible says he's coming for, and you haven't yet seen that glorious church on the earth, then it means he's not coming yet. He said he won't come until there is a company of people in the church that are without spot, blemish, you know, without wrinkle. And I like the Bible, particularly Paul here, you know, just like he did in Ephesians chapter 4, where he says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then he doesn't stop there in verse 15. He says that we may grow up into him in all things. God deliberately, through those scriptures, doesn't give any wiggle room for us to water the thing down. He cannot come until there is a church he can present to himself. And when he presented himself, it would be faultless. It doesn't mean we won't have had faults, but the faults would have been overcome over the years by the blood, the word, and the spirit. And then in verse 25, it says, to the only wise God. We saw this last time. God is the only person that has wisdom. Every other wisdom we see comes from him. The wisdom, we saw that in Proverbs chapter 8, the wisdom that comes to judges and all the nobles of the earth, all the politicians. Any wisdom any man has came from God. You need to understand that. Many people don't think that the wisdom that the wisdom is intrinsic in them. No, wisdom is not intrinsic in any man. I'll take it a step further. Wisdom is not intrinsic in any created being. That is why the minute Satan lost contact with God, that wisdom which was given and the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, God didn't take it from him, it just became corrupted. The only way the wisdom that you have that's from God can continue to be productive and effective is if you stay in contact with the God who gave you in the first place. Because once you disconnect from him, everything he's giving you which was originally good becomes distorted, because the power that makes it good continuously comes from him. It's not a one-time thing. Once you have it, but if you don't stay in contact with him, it becomes distorted. That's why with all of Satan's wisdom, he can't do things right. He just can't. He doesn't have the capacity because he's not God. Just like you and I are not God. So long as we stay in contact with God, no problem. God, the wisdom of God will be flowing. Once you disconnect from God, that wisdom becomes corrupted. Isn't it amazing, and this just came by the Spirit, you know, that someone like Solomon, with all his wisdom, didn't have enough wisdom not to do stupid things. With all the wisdom of Solomon, is one of the things that struck me as a young Christian. You know, me and some of my friends, late Wale Adekoya, you know, who's with the Lord now, I still remember him. You know, we would read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. I can never forget it. In that our house in Abu, he would say, you know, while we share, we say, ah, he said, Ulubi, hey, Solomon, but let me say, anybody, let me say. Solomon wrote Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. And Solomon broke Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. He wrote it and broke it. Why? Distorted wisdom. Wisdom was there, but it. Once you don't stay in contact with God, that's why you have to pray every day. That's why you need the life of God flowing in you constantly. Because if you don't, even all the things you originally had from God, the power to make them operate the way they are, they should operate, comes from God. Once that power is retracted, then you just find that it becomes distorted. You find great men, great mathematicians, great physicists, great engineers, great economists, and you see him great in one area, and then in another area, just see him misbehaving. What's wrong with him? No God. Or should we say, not enough God. Not enough of God. And so, he is the only wise God, and to him be glory and majesty. I like this. You could preach a whole camp meeting on this, but I'm not going to. You know, he says to the only wise God, our Savior. In saying this, he's talking about his brother. Because Jesus is the Savior. Now, of course, Father is the Savior and the Holy Spirit too. But the person that actually came to the earth and died for us. So he's actually referring to his brother, his senior brother. And who is also our senior brother spiritually. His senior brother, both spiritually and biologically. The Lord Jesus Christ. He says to the only wise God, our Savior. He's talking about his brother. You know, and he begins to magnify him. He says, be glory. Glory means adulation, honor, you know, then majesty. Oh, my God. You know, I preached a message many years ago. I was reviewing it recently called The Majesty of God. Go and check it in the Weekly Rhema. I don't have time to go through it again. If you know how great and how big God is, one thing it will help you to do is you will have faith. Faith means trust. The God who made the heavens and the earth, you know, look at the expanse of the heavens. You know what the Bible says? It says the heavens declare the glory of God. That's why the corollary to that statement is, it's only a fool who says there's no God. You can see that expanse of heavens. Look at the planets, the solar systems, the galaxies, you know, and the entire universe. And all of that, you know, according to our estimates, those of us who did physics and cosmology is just the study of the heavens, you know, we have an estimate that the entire, and I'm glad the physicists say this because they're smart, They begin to, you know, they're getting smarter because they begin to realize that there's something beyond them. Before, they used to think they knew everything, you know. And they say, you know, they say in the visible universe, they qualified, you know, in the observable universe. They either use the word visible or observable if you get a good physicist, you know. And the entire dimension of the observable universe is of the order of 10 to power 30 meters. That is 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 up to 30 places. Now, to give you an estimation of what we're talking about, 10 times 10, 6 places is a million. 9 places is a billion. 12 is a trillion. 15, I think they call it a quadzillion. We don't have names for the others. You know where we stop? 15. But the observable universe is 10 to power 30. Then there is an unobservable one. Now, we know that one by revelation. They can't see that. But we know that by revelation, because the Bible talks about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So the observable one, which is the outer court, the one you can see is 10 to power 30. The one you cannot see is 10 to power 60. And then the one that God is in the third heaven is 10 to power 100. I'm not done yet. You know, there's 10 to power 100 as far as we know. Yeah, it's a lower limit. Only God knows. You know, that's why the Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. You know, the God we're talking about is far greater than anything you can even begin to fathom. And this is not flattery, it's truth. He's so far ahead. 10 to power 100. That's why it says, heaven is my throne. He sits on 10 to power 100. And earth is my footstool. He puts his leg on 10 to power 30. And you know where you are? You are one tiny dot. Inside that 10 to power 30, you are... What is your life? It is a vapor that appears for... It says the nations are less than nothing. Yeah, I know, you know, in those days they didn't know physics like we know physics now. What he was trying to say is that you are so infinitesimal. You exist, but you are so infinitesimal compared to the glory and the majesty of God, it is as though you are nothing. Now, that's a little bit of what Jude had in his mind. Where it says glory and majesty. Hallelujah. You know, I could take off on that, but I won't. You know, dominion. Of course, the person who has all that power has total dominion. Isn't it dumb to try and fight him? You've lost before you started. Before you think, he knows what you're thinking. He's made everything. So he has all dominion and power. The word power is the Greek word dunamis, you know. So, this great God, glory, majesty, dominion, and power belongs to him now and guess what? Forever. Amen. Give a Lord a clap offering. Amen. Let me share, you know, I didn't plan to say this, but I'll say it because it will help you, especially when you're talking to men. And, you know, of course, I don't recommend you to go and start arguing with people. You know, the Bible says when you see a man and you discern that he doesn't have the words of wisdom, say, go away from him. You don't waste your time and your breath. But the Bible also tells us, it says that, answer a fool, you know, lest he be wise in his own concern. Then answer not a fool. In other words, first of all, you tell him. Then after all, you don't tell him anything. Now, anybody wants to argue with you about God and the Bible, tell him these three things I'm about to tell you. It's a perfect witness. Two is God's number for witness. Three is God's number for perfection. Number one, the heavens declare the glory of God. Let him go and bring all the other books. All the other religious books. None of them say that. Their own God is some cloud floating somewhere or something. You know, that's number one. Number two, the Bible says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How did David know that? David didn't know DNA. In those days, all they could see was the eyes and all that. They didn't know the intricacies that is behind the anatomy and the physiology, you know, and the biochemistry of the human body. It is, you know, it is the most complex machine that you can ever begin to even think of. The brain alone, forget even the other part, just the brain alone is a, we're still trying to unravel. So, the brain DNA, I am intricately number two. Number three, to prove that the God who wrote the Bible is the true God, Israel. All the promises he made to Abraham thousands of years ago, the promises he made, in particular to the nation of Israel, because it was the Jews that gave us the scriptures. The scriptures are basically Jewish. There's only one Gentile, Luke. And he's also Jewish by extension, spiritually speaking. You know, and he came out of Paul. You know, Luke wrote, you know, Luke and Acts of the Apostles. Every other thing is Jewish. Completely Jewish. So I don't know. Now, the Jews gave us the Bible to authenticate that this Bible came from that God. The God who gave the Jews, who gave us the Bible, watched over his word to perform it and brought the Jews together as a nation again in 1948 after thousands of years in diaspora. If you tell them those three things and they don't believe, just walk away from them. He's a fool. He's dishonest. He doesn't want to investigate. If you investigate those three things, the heavens, the human body, and Jewish history, you come to the inescapable conclusion that the God of the Bible is the true God. Not only is he the true God, you can see the evidence of him all around you. For the invisible things of him are clearly seen. In these three things I've spoken, in the heavens, in the body, and in the history of Israel, so that they are without. The Bible is a very terrible book. Terrible in the right sense. So they are without excuse. Your unbelief is just because you want to keep doing bad things. He says, light has come, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their days are evil. These three things above is enough light for any skeptic to investigate and come to the inescapable conclusion that, God. Now, those things will not make you know God, but they will make you know that there is a God. And then when you begin to see, God will now reveal to you by his spirit. You cannot get no God except by the Spirit. But the evidences you see physically will push an honest man to investigation. And you know what scripture says? It's in Jeremiah chapter 29. He said, if you seek me and you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. In other words, if you seek me with total honesty. That's what it means by all your heart. If you seek me with total honesty and sincerity, you'll find me. So if you don't find me, you didn't seek me with all your heart. You were dishonest. Hello, somebody. All right, I'm done. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation. I don't know what God's going to make me do. I'm just going to follow him day by day. I think I'm going to stop in chapter 4 again. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, do you want me to teach? He said, well, just mention a few things, but don't go into there. He said, the time is not yet. Even though we're closer now than we were 20 years ago. 20 years ago, God told me the same thing. You know, but we're still not there yet. Maybe a few years of rapture. We might open up some more things. Amen. Now let's go to Revelation. Hello, somebody. Man, I love this book. Amen. You know, most Christians are afraid of the book of Revelation. Only humanity, la la la. In other words, if I read the book of Revelation, I have bad dreams. And it's because you're ignorant. And you don't understand. The Revelation is just full of symbolisms. When you understand the spiritual meaning of the symbolisms, all the, you know, the ten-headed dragon and the, you know, then you begin to understand. Okay, but we're not going to get to the dragons, I trust. You know, we might mention a few of them here and there, but don't worry. And in fact, the dragons are under your control anyway. So it's just the devil and his silly boys. All right. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Servants, that means prophets, which includes us too. You know, things which must shortly come to pass. I didn't hear you. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The word servant, the Bible says, servants are the prophets. It's in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. So unto thy servants the prophet. It's a prophetic revelation. It was actually an expanded vision of discerning of spirits. And God showed John all the things that were going to happen that was going to close the age. It was actually an expansion, you know, of the book of the revelation that God had given to Daniel. He gave revelation to Daniel, showed him all the history of time. But then in John, he took the same thing he showed Daniel, and then he expanded it and then gave more detail and showed John everything to the close of the age and the eternal kingdom of God. And he says, these things will shortly come to pass. Now, let me just make a comment here. If 2,000 years ago, when John got this AD 96, somewhere in there, AD 90, you know, so that's approximately 2,000 years. We're now in 2019. So if you're looking at, you know, approximately 1,900 and something, approximately 2,000 years. Now, if then he said it was shortly, how much more now? You know, I like the way Jesus said, he said, it is at the doors. If then it was shortly coming, like now it's at the doors. Hello, somebody. We're going to see more and more of that. Then let me bring another point here. He's talking about his angel. This is the angel of his presence. You know, they've done something now in technology. You can project the image of a person, an electronic hologram. It's common, you know. You know, they even do it on Channel TV. And CNN, the person is in Atlanta, you know, and you will see the image of the person right there. The full image, exactly, is a person. And he'll be saying, everything he's saying in Atlanta, he'll be saying it here, and, you know, he'll be gesticulating, but you can't touch it. It's light. It's a spiritual hologram. I don't even know what a hologram is. Oh, God. I don't even know what a photograph is. Everybody knows a photograph. A photograph is an image, but it's only in two dimensions. In other words, it's flat, you know. A hologram is also a picture, but it's now in three dimensions. Or, correction, your eye sees it as three-dimensional. So it's not just flat, you know. So it has length, depth, and height. All right. Okay. And then you when you're seeing it, it's as if you're there. It's as if it's real, because it is a projection of a reality, but it is not real in the sense that you cannot enter into it and walk on it. But it looks like a three-dimensional, it looks exactly like the real thing. Now, that's, you know, God is so far ahead of us in technology. You know, and of course, there was no way John could explain that. John didn't know physics. John didn't know holograph. John didn't know, you know, three-dimensional photography and holography. He didn't know all of that. We know that today, thank God. Amen? So we can explain it better. But so John just said, he sent it by his angel, which is what he did. What John saw that day was an angel that looked exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. It was actually Jesus. It was just a holographic projection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. And guess what? He's still doing the same thing today. Every time God comes to your room, it's Jesus. That's how he can be in 1 million places at the same time. Yeah, I terribly underestimated him there. He can be in a trillion places. He can be in a zillion places. You know why? It's just like, you know, what's his name now? Donald Trump. Our dearly beloved president. We keep praying for him. Right. Now, Donald Trump is in the White House, you know. But when CNN or any other news media is broadcasting, everybody in the world sees him at the same time. What are you seeing? Donald Trump. You're seeing an image of Donald Trump. By the power of light, We don't want to go into all the electronics and technology. But by the power of light and technology, what you're actually seeing is that you're seeing Donald Trump. So as I'm seeing him in Nigeria, somebody else is seeing him in Ivory Coast. They're also seeing him in China. They're also seeing him in Tokyo. They're seeing him in London. They're seeing him in Europe. They're seeing him all over the world. But it's the same Donald Trump. And the same thing, watch this. And the same thing he's saying in Nigeria. The same thing he's saying in Abidjan. And the same thing he's saying in Tokyo. And the same thing he's saying in London. And the same thing he's saying in Paris. If man can do that. But God's own is even more complex. So God is in heaven. And then from, you know, God is light. So from his presence are these beams of light energy. And they pervade the entire universe. So what can happen is that God wants to talk to you. He just walks into your bedroom. Now it's God, but it's not God. It's God. It's an image of God. Now, the difference is that what he's saying to Olubi is different from what he's saying to Kayode and what he's saying to Laolu. Unlike the Donald Trump, which has to be the same thing all over there. But because God is multidimensional. Hallelujah. It's called, we're going to talk about it later on today, if I get there. You know, the manifold wisdom of God. So God's not limited. He doesn't have one channel. He has trillions of channels, so he can come to me and you talk what pertains to you. Then you come to him and talk to him what pertains to him. But it's the same God, ascended by his angel of his presence. So that's what you know. There, you know, for those who do not know or should know, you know, there are different kinds of angels. This is just one type. This is an angel of his presence. Then there are, you know, warrior angel, there are archangels like Gabriel and Michael and Lucifer who fell, you know. Then we have warrior angels, that angels that fight. Then we have guardian angels that look after you and guard you. And then we have worship angels like cherubims and seraphims. Those ones have wings. There's some angels that don't have wings. That's why you can mistake them for men. That's why I say some people have entertained angels unawares. If you had wings, certainly you'd be aware. Are you listening to me? You know, we need to read this Bible with common sense. When we read the Bible, we forget. We get so, you know, religion can blind you. You know, that because there are different kinds of angels. If it was an angel who had the wing, of course you'll be aware. So if it's an angel appears to you, you know, unaware, it means that the angel looks exactly like a man. So there are angels who look exactly like us. Hello? No, they're not us, so they're angels. But they look like us. And God has to have those kind of angels so that he can send them anywhere he wants in the earth without revealing their identity. Somebody comes to you and helps you and then suddenly disappears. An angel. I've had things like that happen to me. You know, I know these angels on assignment. We've had problems. There was one time we're going in traffic somewhere. I can't remember. That's recently. When I say recently, maybe in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, I think my wife would say, ah! I said, honey, that thing must have been an angel. You know? And just somebody just came and said, come, take this way. You know, I was looking at the person, was really funny. He didn't look like our normal people here. You know, he was an ordinary man and all of that. And suddenly, you know, we took what, you know, went through the shortcut or something like that. You know, and then everything was over. And then we didn't see the person again. An angel. They happen all the time. They're here with us all 24/7. Now, don't go looking for them. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, they respond to you when you speak God's word. They respond to you. Most, 99% of the time, they're invisible. God doesn't show them to you. Occasionally, God may open your eyes and make you see them. Now, when God does that, great. Amen? But don't go looking for an angel. Some other angel can appear. An angel of light. Satan comes as an angel of light. And he likes Christians who are so inquisitive. He will come and tell you something and he will sound like Jesus, but he's not Jesus. Then Jesus appeared to me. How do you know it was Jesus? Have you seen a picture of him before? So if the devil came as Jesus to you, since you've never seen Jesus before, how are you going to be able to tell whether it's actually Jesus or an angel of darkness? Masquerading as an angel of light. The only way you can know is to hear what he says and then compare it to what is inside the word. And if he speaks not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Don't go looking for angels. Use angels. Appreciate their presence. You see, in a lot of our prayers, we say through the ministry of angels. God shared that with me many years ago. I started putting in our prayers so that we'll constantly stay in the consciousness of the fact that angels are working with us in our prayers. But it doesn't mean I'm going to start looking for angels. If I see angels, fine. Amen. I haven't seen any yet. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm not bothered by that. You know, I don't need to see them to know they're there. How many of you have seen an electron before? Hello. You're looking at me funny. How many believe in electrons? Only about 5-10 people. How many people know what an electron is? God have mercy on you. How many people have heard of electricity? What do you think is flowing through the wire that's causing these lights to go on? There's this little tiny thing called an electron. All right? Now, you've never seen them before. Amen. You see their aggregate effect, but you haven't seen one single one before. And yet you believe in it. So it is with the angels. They're there. And you see their effect, but you don't have to see them. All right. Now, so he sent this revelation to John through this angel of his presence. And we're going to see what he looks like in a minute, you know. And he signified it. In other words, he sent it, and then he authenticated it, if you like, you know. Give me this in the Amplified Bible, just for a minute. Right, and he sent and communicated it through his angel, you know, to his bond servant John. Give New International Version. Let's see what that says. Hello. New International Version, if you will. You know, I who testified? Nah. Pray for this guy. Yeah, there we go. And made it known by sending his angel. So the angel was the medium of communication. It was a revelation that came from God, and the person that delivered it was an angel. Now, that's why the word angel in the Greek many times means messenger. Now, sometimes those messengers can be men. We're going to see that later on. So it's the angel of the church. He's not talking about an angel like Gabriel or anything. He's talking about a pastor, the bishop, like Timothy, and so on and so forth. All right. So let's go back to Revelation 1:1. Hey, imagine it's just one verse. This revelation is pregnant. So he showed it and signified it. The thing he was going to show him, all the things of God up to the end of the age. This is very similar to what God did with Daniel. It wasn't actually Daniel. God gave the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had no understanding. He had no idea what the dream meant. He saw this big image. The head was gold, and then the other parts were different metals. Then finally, the feet was iron and clay that didn't mix together. Finally, when Daniel interpreted it, he said, "The head of gold is you." He showed Daniel the whole history of humanity from the time of the empire of Babylonian Empire up to the close of the age. Now, what he's done with John here is that he's taken what he's given to Daniel, and then he's expanded it and given it much more detail. Is this clear? And it's a great thing to read, a great thing to study. Now, in verse 2, he says, "Who bear record?" I didn't hear you. The person that bore record is John. Who bore record of three things? The word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. This is a great statement. John received the vision through the angel. Then he's writing it to us. He's writing it for the sake of posterity. And we have inherited it, thank God. You know, I know John's watching us this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, and he said he bore record of three things. The word of God, which is the Bible, that the Old Testament, that time the New Testament wasn't yet finished. You know, they were still compiling it and writing it. You know, so he had bore record of the word of God, of the testimony, what Jesus told him during the vision, and everything he saw. So he not only saw, he heard. Jesus spoke to him during the vision through the angel. Jesus showed him things, a lot of vision, you know, a lot of symbolic, like the woman, with, you know, clothed with the sun, with having 10, you know, a crown with 12 stars, and she was in travail, and then she gave birth to a man child. I'm just, you know, using that because we're familiar with it, you know, and the man child was called, that's a pattern. And then I saw a dragon with 7 heads, all those. So he's bearing record of, watch this, he's bearing record of the word of God. He's bearing record of the testimony of Jesus Christ, the things Jesus said, and the things that he saw. Watch the synchronization. Everything he heard and saw was in line with the word. If you get a vision, it must be in line with what God has already said. God will never give a revelation contrary to the written word of God. That's why to authenticate the divine authenticity of this vision, he makes his foundation on the solid word of God, who bear record of the word. 1, 2, the testimony of Jesus Christ, what Jesus said. And 3, the things that he saw. The things he saw, the things Jesus said, all lined up with the word of God. And this reminds me of Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, amongst many others, Kenneth Hagin is not the only one who had visions of Jesus in our own contemporary time. When I say contemporary, I'm talking about the last 100 years. You know, but Kenneth Hagin's own, in my own opinion, and I stand to be corrected, and nobody has corrected me since, and I haven't heard anything different from this since, had the most expansive revelatory visions of the Lord Jesus Christ that I know in our generation. Jesus appeared to a lot of people in our generation. He spoke to a lot of people. But Ken Hagin's own was different, because most of the time he taught him. They were teaching sessions. Sometimes he appeared for him for an hour, sometimes 2 hours, you know, and he'd be teaching him. Every vision Kenneth Hagin had was authenticated by this thing. The word of God, the things that he heard and things he saw were always in line with the word of God. In fact, in one of the visions, I just remembered, you know, there were many, but in one of the visions, you know, Ken Hagin was talking to, Jesus was talking to Ken Hagin, and an evil spirit came in between the two of them, you know, was like a little monkey, you know. You know, it wasn't a monkey, but, you know, looked like that, you know, just some silly thing, you know. And he's like, he started making noise, so he couldn't hear. He started interfering. So Jesus kept talking. Interestingly, Jesus didn't do anything about the devil. Just kept talking. Jesus kept talking. And he started getting agitated. That doesn't the Lord know? I can't hear him. That this little monkey, not a monkey, but this little demon is disturbing our talk. But Jesus just kept on and just kept talking normal. When Kenneth Hagin got tired of it, he said, "You evil spirit that is disturbing me, I cast you out, you know, and I resist and I bind you in Jesus' name." And the evil spirit just, and I ran away. And just kept on talking. Then Kenneth Hagin asked the Lord Jesus, he said, "Lord, did you know that thing was disturbing us?" Jesus said, "Yeah, I did." And he said, "Why did you cast him out?" Now watch this. Jesus said, "If you didn't cast him out, I couldn't have cast him out." He said, "Because the authority to deal with demons is with you on the earth, not me." He said, "If you didn't do anything about it, nothing would have. I would not have heard anything I said." I said, "I just kept on talking." Then Ken Hagin said, "Lord, I've been read my Bible 150 times. I've been preaching for 20 something years. I have never heard that there is nothing you cannot do. I don't know whether this vision is from you or not. You know, I mean, there is nothing God cannot do." And he said, "You have to give me scripture for that." He said, Jesus smiled sweetly. He said, "I won't give you 3, I'll give you 4. And then he showed him, you know, from James, you know, "You resist the devil." He says, "In my name, they will cast out the devil." He said, "Never do you see anywhere in the New Testament where you ask God to cast out the devil. You cast out the devil. I have given you power over all wicked spirits and to trample upon them." He quoted all those scriptures for him. And he humbled himself. But the reason I said all of that, just use a typical example, is that the bare record of the word of God If you have a vision, that's why if you don't know the word, it's very unlikely God will show you any vision. Because anything can appear to you. And once it appears to you and it shines and it shakes. You know how people like shining? In our language, that means it was white from top to bottom. And I began to shake. That doesn't make it God. I want to hear what he's got to say. And that's why, and I need to know the word of God, so that if he starts saying anything that's contrary to the word, I know this is not God. If they speak, give it to me, Isaiah 8, verse 18. If they speak not according to this word, it is because, no, it says where they peep and they mutter. 8:20, I think. Isaiah 8:20. It's somewhere in there. You know, they, you know, yes, to the law and to the prophets. There is it. Everybody say, to the law and to the testimony. Testimony just means the written word. You know, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. In other words, it's not from God. It can shine, it can shake, it can roll. Hello? It can sparkle. It can fly. If it doesn't say according to this word, don't believe it. It's not of God, it's the devil. Amen. And you know what, sadly, Pastor G, so many of our men are being deceived now because there has been an invasion of evil spirits that have been sent to the church that has given people false revelation. They look like God. They'll tell you I'm God. One will say I'm Enoch. Another one will say I'm Joseph. You've never seen Enoch before. So if Enoch was to appear to you, how would you know it's Enoch? You've never seen Joseph. They didn't have pictures in those days. You've never seen Abraham. He just comes with a long beard and he's white. I must be Father Abraham. Oh, come on, don't be silly. You understand? That's why you need to know the word. It's when you know the word, you can now judge whether it's God or it's not God. That's not to say Enoch cannot appear. It's not to say Joseph cannot appear. Because if you look even inside this, if you look in the scriptures, for instance, because Enoch is dead and Joseph is dead, how can God appear to them? Have you forgotten Moses was dead and Elijah was dead and they appeared to Jesus on the Isle of Transfiguration? If you can say amen, say oh me. Hello? Oh, yeah. God can send you. He can talk to you. You can send some of those guys that can say a few things, you know. But whatever it is, it must bear testimony to the law and to the testimony. Very important. Don't have confidence in some just because it's supernatural and just because it's a vision. Amen. A lot of our people in the last few years, there's been an infiltration, is a better word, not invasion. Infiltration of evil spirits giving revelation, so-called, to the people, you know, because they know they don't know the word properly. And you know, another good thing, another thing, I got to close, you know. Well, Pastor G, you've done only one verse. I was going to do 8 verses. Well, pick it up. That's a good thing about Bible studies. Now, there's been an infiltration of evil spirits in the last few years. When I say few years, 20, 25, 30, you know, because he wants to abort the coming move of God. So anytime God wants to do something, Satan will bring a counterfeit. And he's appeared to some of our people. When I say our people, I'm talking about Pentecostal spirit-filled tongue talking. I'm not talking about white garment churches. Those ones are not God. No, I'm talking about born-again spirit-filled. And he will come as an angel of light. And what he does is this. That's why you need to be steeped in the word. He'll give you truth, truth, truth. Lie, 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 truth. Truth, lie, truth, lie. Truth, 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 lie. Lie, lie, lie. Truth, 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 truth. Lie, 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 lie. Truth, truth, truth. Because if he gave you lie, 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 he won't deceive you. If somebody made a counterfeit 3 naira note, he won't deceive anybody because there is no original 3 naira notes. The one that can work is a counterfeit 1,000 naira or a counterfeit 500 because the original exists. Now, it takes a trained eye. I remember years ago they used to do this. I'm sure they're still doing some of the banks. They'll put it under ultraviolet light. Then what is known as a watermark will come up and, this is the, that's exactly what you need to do with the devil. When he brings revelation, you must put it under the light of revelation. If you don't look at it with natural eye, you will be deceived. And then you look for the watermarks. Does it contradict the nature of God? Does it contradict the character of God? Does it contradict any other scripture? Because he can come and tell you something that may be true. Only a part of it will be true. Then if the other part he tells you will not be true in light of other scripture. But sadly, you don't know other scripture. So all you know is, it's God. It's not God. Am I talking to anybody here? To keep you safe and to help you, don't seek visions. I'm going to close with this. My second final day. I'm allowed three of them. Don't seek visions. You will open up to deception. Visions are great when God brings it sovereignly. But they are trouble when you seek it because you're looking for a shortcut. Before I say what I'm going to do, the example I'm going to give now, I'll say this. We're supposed to live by faith and not by sight. If you have a vision every 2 weeks, then you're no longer living by faith. You're living by sight. If every time you have a problem, just has to appear to you, and an angel has to appear to you and tell you something, you're no longer living by faith. You're not living by sight. So visions is, that's why God does it occasionally. You're not supposed to live by visions. I don't worry, you know. People who are always seeing. You don't live by seeing. You live by faith. We prophets, by the grace of God, and I have a prophetic anointing. I don't use a title. We 90% of our revelation comes from the word of God. Now, sometimes 10% will come through vision and all that, which is fine. But if I start depending only on when I have a vision before I can have prophetic insight, then there's something wrong with my prophetic anointing. Because I am to live by faith and not by sight. Now, to consolidate this, and we're going to close with these, I'm going to give you three examples. One happened to Kenneth Hagin. One happened to Kenneth Copeland. And one happened to one other man. I don't know. I can't remember his name. It was one of the people who were around in the 1940s and the 50s. There was this great revival of healing and the power of God. And many of the young men, they were young in those days. They were in their 30s, like Oral Roberts and other. Oral Roberts didn't go off, but I'm saying. But many of them were young men, T.L. Osborne. They were all in their 30s, 20s. I'm talking about, just after World War II. 1947, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55. It went from about 10 years. This great revival came to America particularly, as well as Canada and Northern America. Great things were happening. Great healings. And it also came with visions. Now, because of this, many, many men went into error because they started seeking visions. And some of those errors are still with us today. Their effects are still with us today. For instance, I'm going to say this, and I do not say this in negative, because I believe that some of the things he said were true, and he was a great prophet of God. William Branham. William Branham was one of the great prophetic voices of that movement. Yet, you know how he got it? An angel appeared to him. I don't doubt that initial was God. But the thing about it is that they started now depending on that. And many of them, before he died, he started saying that he was the Elijah to come. And Branham actually said that. He said he was the voice of the seventh angel of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation even started. No, in 1940. He said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. But you're not seventh angel.
You're just an angel. I agree, you're a messenger. But you're not the seventh angel. How did he get off into that? Visions. Something came to him and told him that. And you know what? He died prematurely. Kenneth Hagin warned him. Gordon Lindsay warned him. You know? He wouldn't listen to them. He said, what do you guys know? God's talking to me direct. And he was in the ministry at that time. He was ahead of them in the sense of crowd, popularity, and the kind of miracles he was getting. He was getting word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Blind eyes were seeing. You know, the sick. You go to Branham meeting. He will call you. He say, come here. You went to see the doctor yesterday. This is the sickness. They said it was wrong with you. And it will be exact. And the person will get healed instantly. Not once, not twice, not five times. So, of course, such a man with such resolve, people were a little bit afraid to talk to him. You know, but God spoke to them. God spoke to Gordon Lindsay. God spoke to Ken Hagin. And some of the younger, they're all in this thing called Voice of Healings. And they called Branham and said, look, brother, you are a brother. You are prophetic. Nobody's doubting that. But you are going off. He wouldn't listen. So, what happened? He had a car accident in 1965 and died. The brethren did not bury him for almost a week. They said God was going to raise him from the dead. The seventh angel. Well, after a week, he didn't rise from the dead. So they had to bury him. They came to Kenneth Hagin. And they came to Gordon Lindsay. And they said, well, God, let's go and pray for Brother Branham. He said, I'm not going to pray for him. We warned him. He didn't listen. He's gone off to be with the Lord. He didn't go to hell. He went to heaven. He's gone off to be with the Lord. But if he had listened, he wouldn't have died. He died at the age of 50-something. Great man of God. There are a lot of things Branham taught that were correct. Branham taught about the bride of Christ, which is true. But you know, the thing about it is that we can easily, and I'm speaking now because I'm speaking on television and YouTube and everything, and this is going to go out to all the young ministers, because this, our generation knows nothing. God forgive me. They know very little. And many of them are so proud they don't want to learn. There is coming a great move of the Spirit as I speak. And it will also come with his own deceptions. That's why God is getting us ready. Don't jump and shout simply because it's a vision. You got to be solid in the word. So, William Branham died, you know. Ken Hagin prophesied about it and he said, you know, they told him, come and pray. He said, there's no point wasting our time. We're not going to pray. We love him. He's a great brother, but he's we're going to bury him. They didn't want to bury him at first, but later the brother, when the cops started, you know, they had to go and take him out of the mortuary and bury him. You know, and there are still people who they call them Branhamites till today. Till today, as I'm speaking, there are brethren that believe in all those funny things, and they still preach it today. I met one about 30 years ago. When I was teaching in the school, you know, before I started working in UI, this is 1982, 83, you know, a guy was from Ghana. Now that we had those Ghanaians who were coming to Nigeria, they were helping us, they were teaching in schools and all of that. Nice guy, a lovely Christian, you know, but he was a Branhamite. I can never forget it. And he'd be telling me, I wasn't pastor then, I was Brother Luby. You know, Brother Luby, you know that. I say, brother, this is all okay, but this one is not okay. But he won't listen. Still till today. Now, Ken Hagin, let me start with that. Ken Hagin, there was a vision Kenneth Hagin had in one of the visions. And Ken Hagin's wife was sick. She had a goiter. And Ken Hagin suspected that she was going to die. He just had the witness in his spirit. So, in the vision, he said, Lord, please help me keep my wife. I don't want her to die. I cessed this operation. And Jesus, everybody give the Lord a clap offering. Jesus is such a nice person, compassionate. Jesus said, yep, it was divine destiny for her to die. But now you have asked me, she will live and she will not die. Tell her to go and do the operation. I don't know where we got this from, that God doesn't use doctors. This is Jesus talking. Tell her
you should do the operation. I will speed up the healing process and she'll be fine. And you don't have to worry about anything. She will live and she will not die. Then he said this. He said that, I'm doing this for you because you asked me. He said, I love all my children. He said, they weep, they cry. They roll on the floor. That's Olubi's addition. They weep and they cry. And he said, but you don't ask in faith. He said, so there's nothing I can do. He said, I am doing this for you just because I appeared to you in this vision. He said, but I will never do this again. Like everybody else, you have to get it by faith. Second experience, Kenneth Copeland.
Kenneth Copeland, Ken Hagin's son, spiritual son. And he heard all these stories from Kenneth Hagin, how Jesus appeared to him, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, all these great guys, you know, Jesus appeared to some of them, you know, over the years. So, he's young in ministry. He was a pilot for Oral Roberts for some years, you know. Oral Roberts was one of his spiritual fathers, like Kenneth Hagin, you know. And Kenneth Copeland goes to God. He gets to fast and pray. God, you are a respecter of persons. You appear to Kenneth Hagin. You appear to Oral Roberts, but you have not appeared to me. Poor me. Oh, no. You have to appear to me. You have to appear to me. Yeah. Already there is a tough person. You appear to get hanging so many times. You appear to get Oral Roberts. So many. Yahweh appeared to me. He kept pushing the thing. Now, Jesus didn't appear to him, but he spoke to him in the place of prayer. He said, if you keep pushing this thing, he said, I will appear to you. He said, but if I do, it will set your ministry back at least 10 years. He says, and you may never recover. Do you still want me to appear to you?
Kenneth Copeland's a good guy. Give Brother Copeland a clap offering. Amen. Said, Lord, don't. You know why? If Jesus appears to you, you know, without he'd be doing it sovereignly, because you want a vision, it means that you're no longer operating by faith. You're not operating by sight. And it's going to affect your growth. Copeland learned a good lesson. Number three. This guy, I don't know his name. But I heard it from Kenneth Copeland. I think I also heard it from Kenneth Hagin. But I think it was more Kenneth Copeland I heard it from. There was another person like that. I can't remember his name. You know, I don't think they even mentioned the name. They just used it as an example like I've done. These other ones, they're public things, so they're already known. So, but this person, you know, Jesus appeared to him once and began to teach him about demonology and casting out devils, which was great. And he began to teach some exciting things back in those days, you know, casting out devils and deliverance and everything. You know, so he would, you know, side ministry and the ministry was going. So why Jesus appeared to him a second time? He fasted, almost killed himself. Fasted for 40 days. You know, with water, of course, you know. And almost killed himself because he wanted Jesus to appear to him in a vision. So the Lord Jesus, you know, warned him. Yeah, you don't need this. Go to the Word. You get everything in the Bible. What's the revelation you want? I don't need to appear to you in a vision. Go to the Word. If you pray, Spirit of Wisdom, revelation, you get revelation. You don't have to. He kept pushing it. He kept pushing it. He kept pushing it. He kept pushing it. Fast. Almost killed himself. So Jesus appears to him. He reads him Ephesians chapter 6. Jesus appeared to him and said, finally, brethren. He read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 to the end of it, you know, about spiritual warfare and everything, and disappeared. He appeared to him, didn't he? He still wasn't satisfied. So he kept pushing it. Fast. That's where they got this beauty from. I believe in fasting, though, but I don't believe in fasting to extremes. Simply because you want Jesus to appear to you. He said, so Jesus now. It was not Jesus this time. Something else appeared to him that looked like the Jesus he saw before. And started telling him all kinds of things. The guy went off course and died prematurely. Three examples. Don't seek visions. If God gives visions, great. Sometimes God will give visions to
complement the word of God we're getting and help a whole... The, one of the reasons I believe God appeared to Ken Hagin was to set a whole generation correct. And you know what? There's no other person in our generation, word of faith, that has got to kind of vision with Ken Hagin. Because it's not necessary. He's giving it to vision with Ken Hagin. You love Ken Hagin and get into the word and get a revelation yourself. Amen?
So God appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. And he signified it by his angel and showed him things to come. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Stop seeking supernatural experiences.
Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. It's great if you have a vision, but don't seek it. And revelation does not come primarily through visions. It comes through prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1. God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's how you get revelation. You don't get it by vision. Now, occasionally God will give a vision, but you can't. Don't depend on that, or else you can open your door up to deception. And if you're not steeped in the word anyway, you can easily be deceived by a vision through the angel of light. Am I talking to anybody here? Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus is coming again. He revealed himself through his servant, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos. And you and I can learn from that revelation. See, what God gave John doesn't have to give me and you again. He's already given it to John. John's written it down. So we can all get the same experience John had on the Isle of Patmos. God doesn't have to come and give what will be his own exclusive vision. Visions are spiritually expensive. It takes a lot of power to do them, and that power would take put on your account and put in negative. That's why Jesus told Ken Copeland, you won't be able to recover from it. It's only if God does it sovereignly, and he does it occasionally to set things right, to complement what we're getting from the word. Let's talk to God. Seek the Lord. Seek him with all your heart, and he will reveal himself to you. Seek revelation from the word. Remember, it's authenticated by the word, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and the things which he saw. So everything he heard and saw was in line with the written word. Very important. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Let's stand to our feet. To the coming King. He's coming again. Bow before him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the coming King.
Your majesty. Let the praises be.
Let our praises be. Pure and holy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the coming King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
King,
to the coming King.
Bow before him.
Hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. He is the coming King. Like I shared during the Bible study, Jesus is the true God. The heavens declare His glory. Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the history of the nation of Israel is a testament to all men that the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the God that said the heavens declare His glory, the God that says we are fearfully and wonderfully made, is the true God. Lift your heart to Him. If you're born again, wonderful. If you're not born again, this is a good time to do so. Just say, Lord, come into my heart. Clean me with your blood. Let me receive your life. If you are born again, rededicate and consecrate to Him on a higher level. We're living in the end time. All the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ are around us. Everything He said. Book of Matthew chapter 24. All the signs of the air, they are with us. They're not coming, they're already here. The signs in the heavens, the blood moon tetrads, the signs in the sea and the moon and in the distress of nations, everything is already upon us. Lift up that heart to the coming King. Never consecrate to seek Him with all your heart in His Word by His Spirit. Let us pray. We say, Father, Father, we confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. We receive your life. We receive your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that all dominion, glory, and power belongs unto you, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. There is none that can be compared unto you. I also thank you for the revelation that you gave the Lord Jesus Christ, that you shared with us through the Apostle John by having him write it in the book of Revelation. Oh God, open my eyes, enlighten my understanding. Let me understand the things that are knocking now at the door of human history. When John wrote it, he said they will surely come to pass. We are now 2,000 years later, so we know that they are knocking at the door of human history. Have mercy on me, so I will be ready. I will be ready in these end times. I will overcome the perilous times. I will understand what the Spirit is saying. I will have clear, perfect understanding of the times and of the seasons. So the things that are happening in the end time will not surprise me. They will not overtake me as a thief. I will be ready for them. I will overcome them and bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nikatoro mashalaka. Mercy, Lord. Nikatoro mashalika tofrenenga. Nambradekla matolo matofre dofreshe. Tokogla matolo matofre. Nambradekla matolo matofre shikaros. Tolamara. Nambradekla matolo matofresh. Ha ha.
In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give a lot of super clap offering.